Don't take that for granted. Hearing that gospel lesson of what is coming on this world, total annihilation, destruction of everything that we seem to think is so stable, you need God's grace and His peace. And so I wish to you again, grace to you and peace from God your Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Please rise. The words of Jesus in this gospel lesson recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each text has unique points they make. I read this verse, which is unique to Luke's gospel, when Jesus says, when these things begin to happen, straighten up, raise your heads, your redemption is coming near. This is God's word. Be seated. In Jesus' name. When these things begin to happen, what things? Well, frightening things. Things that even still today cause people terror, disillusionment, fright. The temple in Jerusalem, Jesus mentions, would be destroyed. Now, that may not mean much to you, but Jesus predicts this 40 years before the event, and it did happen. And therefore, we need to understand this event is critical, because if the temple had not been destroyed as Jesus said it would be, then we could believe nothing he said. Scholars, of course, claim that that temple in Jerusalem had a majesty that exceeded all the seven wonders of the world. It was more than twice the size of the Acropolis in Athens. Some of its stones, which Jesus says the noble stones, some were weighed more than 570 tons. The exterior of the temple was covered with massive plates of pure gold, which brilliantly reflected the sun. And as people marched up to Mount Zion to the temple for the Passover, they would see the sun reflecting off the gold and white marble of the temple. And they said, there's the place of God's residence. That is His house. That is His temple. It was, in fact, the locus, the place of God's presence among His people. When Solomon had finished building the first temple, he prayed, O Lord, may your eyes be open day and night toward this house, the place about which you have said, My name shall be here forever. That was the place, the temple in Jerusalem. That was the place where God revealed His glory. It was the place where God showed Himself to His people, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, God's very throne. It would be leveled, though, Jesus says here, by the Roman armies. They would leave not one stone on top of another. And of course, there would be also wars, he mentions. There would be famines, earthquakes, pestilences. The apostles of our Lord would be persecuted, many of them delivered up to die, as Jesus says. And all these things he talks about, all of them, have taken place and are going on before our eyes even today. The temple in Jerusalem is gone. Jesus predicted what happened. 40 years almost to the date after Jesus predicted this, the Roman armies besieged Jerusalem, broke through the walls, went up and down the alleys and streets of Jerusalem, butchered everybody in sight, and then in words that echo Jesus' prediction here, Titus, the Roman general, it says he ordered the entire city and the temple smashed to the ground, leaving only the tallest tower standing and part of the western wall to show posterity the strong defenses which had yielded to the power and might of the Roman army. Now you may think, so what? The temple was destroyed. Well, today if you watch the news and you see pictures of Jerusalem, what is there? The Mosque of Omar, a Muslim mosque. The temple will never be rebuilt again. The Muslims and Jews would fight to their death. And the Muslims certainly would, to give up that holy place where I think that was a place, if I remember right, where Muhammad ascended into heaven or something like that. They'll never give it up. The temple is done. The Western Wall alone stands still to this day. Some of you, I don't think any of us are old enough, actually, but the old German hymnal in the Missouri Synod called the Kirchengesangbuch, that used to be our hymn book in the Missouri Synod. I noticed years ago the last pages of the hymn book had a section printed from Josephus, the Jewish historian, which was titled Von der Zerstörung der Stadt Jerusalem, about the destruction of Jerusalem, in which it relates the entire story by Josephus. He was a witness of how the Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem. Now, what was that doing in the Lutheran hymn book? Because our Lutheran fathers wanted us to remember that that was a sign of the times. And as you turn to the last page in the hymn book, you are reminded that Jesus is coming back for judgment. Therefore, you should be prepared and ready for it. How about wars and rumors of wars? Is that going on yet? Oh my gosh, I've lived through several. You had the Cold War. When I was a kid, we used to practice, you know, for the event of a nuclear explosion. We'd, you know, get under our desks in case the bomb went off. We'd hide from the nuclear explosion as though that would have helped us. And of course, I come out of the Vietnam era. One of my classmates in my parochial school, his name is on the wall, the Vietnam wall there in Washington, D.C., shot in the jungles of Vietnam. Then, of course, you had the Gulf War, you got Iraq, Afghanistan, now we have Syria, and we'll probably be back in there again, if not sooner, certainly later. And that won't be the end of it. Rumors of wars. Listen to the headlines just this week. Quote, North Korea has a message for the new U.S. president. We're staying heavily armed. How about that one? And here's another headline. The battle for Mosul. Iraqi forces torture and kill villagers. And just this morning, USA Today had an article, at least 45 killed in a Pakistani blast by ISIS. And in floods, Jesus mentions that. Here's a headline from the paper this past week. Heavy rains in the Balkans caused swollen rivers to overflow Tuesday, flooding some homes, cutting electricity to remote areas. Authorities in Albania report 2 deaths. And how about earthquakes? Just this morning again in the Tribune, quote, moderate quake felt in southwest Alaska. And here's another one. Today, a powerful 7.4 magnitude earthquake strikes near Christchurch, New Zealand. And then he mentions pestilences. We had the Ebola thing, the Zika virus. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Signs of the times. Such events, of course, frighten many Americans, perhaps many of you. They shouldn't. They are signs of a greater thing to come. Signs to remind us that the present world is slowly decaying away. Don't fall in love with the present age. As St. Paul warns, the world in its present form is passing away. If you don't believe that, read the paper. We got signs of decay and death all around us. For us, though, who are Christians, this is good news. Because every time we see one of these signs, it reminds us the end is coming. Thank God. When we will be taken from this valley of sorrows to the great heavenly feast, where all tears will be wiped away forever. And we will live in glory and peace with Jesus and our loved ones forever and ever. There will be signs, Jesus warns, when these things start to happen, and they have. Stand up straight, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Don't walk around cowed down, hiding, terrified, spooked about everything, looking over your shoulder, wondering when the axe will drop again. Stand up straight, lift up your heads. The events Jesus mentions here today are events that have been going on throughout history, which reminds us the world is certainly no better a place than it was when Jesus first spoke these words. The present world is decaying, it is dying, and the world will soon share in the resurrection of God's people. How about that? Listen to what St. Paul writes in his letter to Rome. The creation, he's not talking about the people, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In every fall, we see the decay happening around us as the leaves turn color, and they're beautiful, but it's actually a sign of death, isn't it? Because the leaves dry up, and pretty soon they're brown, then they fall off the ground. And we rake them all up or mow them up and take them to the Maple Grove yard and waste facility and we burn them up. Signs of the times. God did not create the world to be like this, did he? What's the last thing he said when he finished creation? He looked at all he had made and it was good? No, it was tov, melt, very good. We don't see that anymore. Oh, we see little shadows of a beautiful world. Again, I love the fall season as the leaves become beautiful and you have all these vibrant colors. I love spring when the flowers come out. I love the north woods and all the beautiful trees. But you see, it's just a shadow of what the world once was. It is not very good anymore. We see decay and death and rotting and dying all around us. And it's going on every day. Just open your eyes. Jesus says these are signs to get us ready for the inevitable return of Christ for judgment. Only one thing then remains to happen, right? That is Jesus coming back on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead, as we have confessed in the creed for how many centuries. Christ ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Are you going to be ready for that day? The signs are there every day. Read the newspaper. Turn on the TV. Listen to your radio. Just pay attention. The signs are there. The temple is destroyed. Wars and rumors of wars. Pestilences, hurricanes, floods. All these things which God did not create. He'd ever intended these things to happen. As there is a perfect, loving God, he will not tolerate this kind of stuff forever. Many will not be ready on the last day. They're not here today to hear about the signs. They don't know about it. They just think these are random bad things. In the book of Revelation, our Lord Jesus pulls back the curtain for us to give us a little peek, a foretaste of what's going to happen on that last day. In the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, we read these words. Permit me to read a paragraph. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, and the sky vanished like a scroll being rolled up. Every mountain and island was removed from its place. And then the kings of the earth and the powerful ones and the generals and the rich and everyone slave and free hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling out to the rocks and mountains, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Will you stand? Or will you cower in fear and run to the mountains and plead with them to cover you from the wrath of the Lamb on the last day? Will you be ready? While many, of course, faint with fear and trembling, as Jesus says, and foreboding, Jesus urges us not to scream to the mountains to cover us, but he says, straighten up, lift up your heads, for there's some good news. Your redemption is drawing near. Covered in Jesus' righteousness, as we are in our baptism, of course, we rejoice when we see these signs because they remind us that the world will not always be this dying, decaying place. God is coming back to restore paradise, and at that we sing Te Deum Laudamus. We praise you, O God. What a marvelous day that will be. And we know that our Lord Jesus will come back on the last day, not to condemn us, but to rescue us and deliver us. For he already has come once, has he not? He came not to judge us and condemn us, but to save us. And on the cross he shed his blood to pay our debt for us. And Sunday after Sunday we have a preview of Judgment Day right here. As we stand before our pastor who speaks for God, and we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, we deserve your present and eternal wrath and punishment, O Lord, but have mercy on us for the sake of Jesus. And the minister turns out to us and pronounces the verdict. By virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises us that the word I have spoken will judge you on the last day. We've heard that word. It's a good word, a word of forgiveness and justification. And our place at the heavenly marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom is already anticipated every Sunday, isn't it? Right here. As we gather with the saints and the archangels and all the company of heaven. And our Lord is and Lord Jesus Christ, who once also went through death, rose on the third day victoriously. And He gives to us His body and blood to eat and to drink with the promise, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in a new way in the kingdom to come. You know, the Lord's Supper, we've emphasized that it's forgiveness and life and salvation. One thing we haven't emphasized enough is that the Lord's Supper assures that not just our spirits and souls will live, but our bodies are sacred and holy too. And that God has salvation for us bodily, as He gives us something physical to eat and to drink in the Lord's Supper, bread and wine, which He says is at the same time His body and blood, once crucified but now raised from the dead. And as we eat and drink His body and blood, He assures us that He will also raise us bodily on the last day. And these bodies that are now filled often with disease or sickness or decay or finally death, our bodies are still sacred and special to the Lord Jesus. And He will raise them. And we will join the saints in heaven, not just spiritually, but bodily forever. And so, as St. Paul assures us, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit namely who's worked confidence and faith and hope in these promises, we wait eagerly for that day when we shall have our bodies redeemed in heaven. For now our spirits may rejoice. Spiritually we're excited. We can live through problems in life because we have our hopes focused on heaven, and yet our bodies don't participate in it yet. Our bodies get sick. Our bodies get old. We lose our eyesight. We get crippled up as we get old. We can't walk. Finally, we're bedridden, and then we die. And so our bodies also look forward to that day when we shall share eternally, not just spiritually, but bodily. As St. Paul writes, we groan inwardly now as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Later on, St. Paul reminds us, our citizenship is really in heaven. And from there, we await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject everything to Himself. And so at every graveside, as we take our loved ones out and the hole in the ground looms before us, and we prepare to drop our loved one down in the ground and shovel dirt on top of him, we don't do that until we have heard the minister speaking these words of comfort. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will all be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. And then Paul adds these words, which the unbelievers must think we're crazy, or as they say in German, verrückt, totally nuts. O death, where is your victory? And the unbelievers look at us and say, what's the matter with you people? Can't you see the victory right in front of your eyes? The dead body put in the ground? But believing in the risen Lord Jesus, we cry out even louder. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today on this second last Sunday, as we see things going on in the world that terrify some people, wars, viruses, ISIS, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the list goes on and on, and we see people cowering before these things, superstitious, frightened out of their minds, we stand up straight. We lift our heads because these are signs that our redemption is drawing near. And so we pray in one of our hymns, O God, let us hear now when our shepherd shall call in accents persuasive and tender. Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Drink here my blood shed for you. that while there is time, we make haste, one and all, and find him our mighty defender. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. And he has, and he does, and he will. This is most certainly true. And to that, I don't know how we respond except to sing a marvelous hymn, Te Deum Laudamus. We praise you, O God. We'd like to use it to a new tune. Would you please find that hymn in your hymnal, hymn number 941. We praise you, O God. Please rise for the Te Deum. And acknowledge you, O God, to be the Lord, the Father everlasting, by all the earth adored. To you all angel powers cry aloud, the heavens sing, the cherubim and seraphim their praises to you bring. Oh, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, your majesty and glory fill the heavens and the earth. The band of the apostles in glory sing your praise. The fellowship of prophets, their deathless voices raise. The marches of your kingdom, a great and noble throng, sing with the holy church throughout all the world this song. Majestic Father, your true and only Son, and Holy Spirit Comforter, forever three in one. Christ, our King of glory, the everlasting Son. Yet you with boundless love sought to rescue everyone. You who laid aside your glory were born of virgin's womb, were crucified for us, and were placed into a tomb. Then by your resurrection, you won for us reprieve. You who open heaven's kingdom to all who would believe. You sit in splendid glory, enthroned at God's right hand, upholding earth and heaven by forces you command. We know that you will come as our judge that final day. So help your servants, you have redeemed by love, we pray. May we with saints be numbered, where praises never end. In glory everlasting, amen, O Lord, amen.
Pray for the whole people of God and for all other people according to their need.